All right, well, good morning. It's good to see you this morning. Pastor called last night and said he needed a message for today, so I'm going to give you what God has given to me. I hope it's a blessing to you. I have a message today entitled, When Christ Makes You a New Creature. So if you'll please... I invite your attention to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. First Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I would also like you to turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Okay, if you'll join me in prayer, please. Lord Jesus, we do thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to hear your word preached. Lord, we thank you for the word of God. What a blessing it is to each one of us. Lord, how it equips us, how it convicts us. Lord, how it works in our lives. Lord, we pray that you would use it today as it's given. Lord, we just pray that you would touch our hearts, that we would listen to what you have to say. Lord, that we would be able to take control of the things that you would have us to be mindful of today. Lord, we just pray that you'd speak to us, that your Holy Spirit would show us what needs attention in our lives. Help us to be better Christians. Help us to live for you. Lord, we just pray for your will to be done this morning, and that all that is said and done would give you the glory and honor. We ask these things in Christ's most precious name. Amen. All right, so if you'll turn back to 2 Corinthians 5:17, if you're not already there. The first thing I would like you to notice, therefore, if any man be in Christ. So we find here that the Christian's position is said to be in Christ. There are three stages of the human soul in connection with Christ. Number one, without Christ. Number two, in Christ. And number three, with Christ. Without Christ, this is the natural state, the condition that we are born into. Every human being on the face of the earth is born without Christ and needs Christ. It's a sad state of affairs. It's an unhappy sort of a life. It's where you just go from one lust to the other and you just do what your flesh demands. It's really an unhappy state. The next one is in Christ. This is when a person is born again, when a person is saved, when a person, as the Bible says in John 5:24, passes from death unto life. And so the Bible says that we're headed for death because we've transgressed God's law. There's a punishment for God's law. It's a place called hell, a place of eternal punishment. I'm sad to say that hell is a real place where people go and they burn. And it's really an unpleasant idea. But this is on your way to death. It's eternal death is what it is. It's separation from the Lord and in a place called hell. Romans 8:1, I'd like you to look there for a moment. Romans 8:1. Romans 8:1 reads, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Notice it says here, in Christ Jesus. And in the next verse it says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." And so when you're in Christ, you're free from the law of sin and death. You don't have to go to hell because Christ has paid that price for you. He has taken your place and took on your punishment on the cross. What a blessing. What a blessing to be in Christ. And so if you'll notice also in Romans 8:1, it says, "Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." And so there's a change in this person's life. They no longer follow the flesh, like I said, going from one lust to the other and doing things which are wicked. But this person is in Christ. Every true Christian is in Christ. And I wanted you to notice there in verse 1, the change in them. But then there's with Christ. With Christ is the state of glory. So when you die and your body is transported into the presence of God and you're with Christ, what a blessing that is. But that's a future. It's the state of glory. And that is with Christ. What a wonderful thing that is. Now, there are great moral changes which may take place in a person's life which do not amount to the saving of the soul or being in Christ. For instance, a drunkard may become sober. Just because they have that change doesn't make them in Christ. It doesn't make them born again. It doesn't do anything for them other than it helps their life a little bit. Sometimes people do have a little bit of willpower where they say, "Oh, I got to stop doing this," and they do have the ability to do that. They don't necessarily have to do it with Christ. But every good and perfect thing is done in the power of Christ if you're saved. And so that's an important thing to understand. A drug addict might stop taking drugs. Or sometimes people get a little religious. They might get baptized. But that religious act or rite does not make them saved. It does not make them a new creature. Some people will attend Bible reading and they'll say, "Well, I need to start reading my Bible because I've never read the Bible before." I've had a few people at work, they say, "Well, I've never read my Bible before. I think I'll start reading my Bible." Unfortunately, as good as reading the Bible is, and I would recommend that everyone read the Bible does not bring a transformation in your heart unless you act upon what the Bible says. When you read that Christ died for your sins and that Christ died on the cross for your sins, and you call upon Him, as it says in Romans 9 and 10, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." And if you act upon those scriptures, and you call upon Christ, and you mean it with all your heart, then you can be saved. You can become a new creature, like our text was talking about. But Bible reading in itself will not give you an inward change. And neither does church attendance. Many people think that, "Well, I go to church a lot, so I'm a pretty religious and I'm a pretty good person." But goodness or moral rightness or doing any of these good things will not get you to heaven. They will not give you eternal life. They will not make you a new creature. It does not amount to regeneration or the new birth. He may give up every outward sin, but unless the change goes far deeper, he is not saved. He is not a new creature. He is not in Christ Jesus. Regeneration is a change of the entire nature from top to bottom in all senses and respects. Such is the new birth, and so it is to be in Christ and to be renewed by the Holy Ghost. But secondly, Not only is the Christian's position said to be in Christ, I would also like you to see that we are made new creatures. We are made new creatures. If you look in our text there, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Not like any other creature. He's a new creature. Okay? A new creature. That means there's a divine work going on here. He is made new. Creation is the work of God alone. And so that's why in Genesis we see, and he said, let there be light, and there was light, and he saw the light, and he said it was good, and he said a lot of things were good in the book of Genesis, and I like that. There was a lot of good things that he made there in the beginning. But creation is the work of God alone. Let's read our text again. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. A man in Christ is not the old man purified, nor the old man improved, nor the old man in any better condition or form. No, he is a new creature altogether. He is made new by the Lord God. He is made new by Jesus Christ. So what shall we do with this old man? Well, I'm going to tell you. How many of you were baptized? Okay? Well, let's take a look at Romans 6, 3 through 11. Now, I had an interesting situation in my life. You know, when you go to the book of Acts, it says the very same day they were added unto the church, what, 2,000 or 3,000 souls or something like that? They got baptized the very same day that they got saved. And that's how it should be. You should try to get baptized as soon as you can, because what it is, it's a public testimony. It's a picture of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, that like Christ died and was buried and rose again, that you die to your sin and are raised to walk in newness of life. And so it's a picture of you saying, no, I don't want that sin anymore. I'm going to bury it. And I'm going to be walking a new life now. I'm making a public testimony that I'm going to walk a new life. Okay? Well, with me, I was saved at 8 in Liberty Lake, Washington, when I lived with my dad. There was a church on the other side of the lake. These girls that I knew from school, their parents would pick me up and take me over there. And one Sunday, I learned about Christ from my Sunday school teacher, that Christ could save me. I trusted Christ as my personal Savior. And I knew I was saved. I was really excited about it. But as most Christians do, I went home and I lied to my dad, or committed some sin and thought I had to be saved all over again. And so I tried to come forward to get saved, and my Sunday school teacher said, no, this is called eternal life. You don't have to do that again. You're saved forever. All you have to do is just make it right with Christ and ask Him to forgive you. And so I kind of became like a Catholic, and I would just do wrong and then ask God to forgive me, and I'd do wrong again, and then I'd ask God to forgive me again. And I would just keep doing wrong and doing wrong and doing wrong and asking God to forgive me and just think, hey, that's okay, all right? But when I was 19, I had joined the Marine Corps when I was 18, and at the end of the year in November, I went to boot camp right after Thanksgiving, and so I went to boot camp, and then when I got done with boot camp, they sent me over to Tennessee. Well, over in Tennessee, it's right outside Memphis. It's a Naval Air Station, Millington, Tennessee, right outside Memphis. And there was a little serviceman's center, and they would minister to the servicemen as they passed by to go into town to buy, a shake or hamburger or something from the store, because the servicemen, you know, they always wanted to get off the base and go do different things, and they were always walking by. Well, Well, they stopped me one day and they said, "Hey, are you saved?" And I said, "Yeah, I was saved when I was 8. And they said, "Yeah, but were you scripturally baptized?" And I said, what's that? So they took me to this verse in Romans chapter 6. So if you'll turn there with me to Romans chapter 6, we're going to look at verses 3 through 11. And after they explained to me, is that right? No. Yeah. Romans 6, 3 through 11. "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk," see this, "in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. For if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon," and that means count it as so, count it true, "ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof." And I'll go ahead and read verse 13. Oh yeah, I said I was going to. Let's see. No, I didn't. But anyway, let's just go ahead and add that in there. "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." So there you have it. And so they explained to me that as you're going down into the water, it's a picture of his death. And as you come up out of the waters, it's a picture of his being, his resurrection and his walking in newness of life, that like Christ lived unto God, we are to live unto God. And our lives are to be a picture to other people of what a Christian is. The problem is that many Christians don't desire to have that picture shine to others. We need more people to be changed, to act like a new creature. See, it's human nature for us to try to fit in. Well, what station do you want on the radio? Well, they usually listen to country western, so I'm going to turn it to country western. I never turn it to country western. They hate me because I like classical. I'll turn it to classical. There's no Christian stations I can really listen to on the radio, but... So I turn it to classical. They know that if it's on classical, that Dirk was messing with the radio. So that's kind of how it goes. But anyhow, so it's human nature to want to fit in. It's want to belong. But God's will is that we're different, that we are a new creature, that we act like a new creature. Now, that doesn't mean we have to be rude, but it does mean that we should be different. And so some of the things that we used to do, we need to stop doing that. It reminds me of that junior church song that goes, "The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. No way! Things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. There's been a great change since I've been born again." And then you divide up the kids. "There's been a great, great change since I've been born. There's been a great great change, change. Since I've been born, there's been a great, great change, change. Since I've been born, there's been a great change. Since I've been born again. Now that's a kid's song, but the truth is still just as real. It's just as important as what we're talking about today. We need to be different. We need to be changed. You cannot change the old nature. So the answer to the question, so what shall we do with this old man? Well, you cannot change him or her. You cannot change that old man. You cannot change this old nature that you have. And therefore, it must be crucified with Christ. And we find that in Romans 8, 7. So if you'll turn over there, Romans 8, 7. Romans 8. Oh, well, that's not it, but okay. But Romans 8, 7 says this, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And so this is the answer to our question of why must we crucify the flesh? Because it's hatred against God. So then in the flesh, and we've already seen, okay, so I wanted to tell you this earlier. I didn't collaborate with Daniel when I put my message together. I had no idea what verses he was going to use, but it just so happens that we're going over some of the same verses. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And so this is a very important part. If you want to be changed, you need to remember that your flesh is hatred against God. Your flesh is the opposite. It's contrary. It's contrary to what God wants you to do. So therefore, you must crucify that flesh every single day. Every single day, you got to get up in the morning and say, okay, and whatever it is, okay, I got to watch my mouth, or I got to watch what I'm thinking, or I got to watch, you know, whatever it is that you struggle with or things that you slip on, you know, you've got to watch that because people are watching you. Whether you realize it or not, they're watching you to see, well, what kind of a Christian is this guy anyway, or this girl? What kind of a Christian are they? They're watching you. Next, I'd like you to notice that salvation requires a radical change. Salvation requires a radical change. Everywhere in Scripture, men are divided into two classes with a sharp distinction between them. In the Gospels, you find the lost sheep and the ones that are found. You find guests refusing the invitation that the Lord gives, and you find guests feasting at the table. You find the wise virgins, and you find the foolish virgins. You find the sheep, and you find the goats. In the epistles, we find there are those who are dead in their trespasses and sins, and others, it is said, and you hath he quickened. So they've been made alive. They're in Christ. Some men are alive to God, and others are still in their natural state of spiritual death. Now, I could go on and on and on because there's so many contraries in the Bible. They use one example against the other, and that's a lot of the way that the Lord would teach, was using examples and parables and things like that. But the thing we need to realize is the distinction between the two classes runs through the whole of Scripture, of the Scriptures. And never do we find a hint that there are some who are naturally good and do not need the new birth. No, there must be a divine work making us new creatures and causing all things to become new, or else we face the consequences, meaning we die in our sins. And we are sent to hell. All right, I'd like you to look at John 3:3, and what the Bible says about salvation. Now, I know you all know this, many of you anyway. But But it's good to remember what the Lord said. John 3:3, Jesus answered and said unto him, talking to who? Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So he has to be born again. Now, some people try to say that this is baptism or some other thing. It's not. It means born spiritually a second time. You were born once physically. Now you have to be born a second time spiritually. You have to be born into God's family. And the way you do that is you become convicted of your sin. You pray and ask Christ to save you from the punishment of your sins. And when you call on Him to save you and you mean it with all your heart, for God looks on your heart when you're praying and knows whether you mean it or don't mean it or if you're trying to fake Him out. I mean, there's a lot of times where I've worked in junior church and you have one kid who really comes up to get saved and then another kid who comes up because all these other kids came up. And so you always have to ask, why did you come forward? And sometimes they'll say, well, I had to go to the bathroom or something like that. Okay, so you've got to know why people come for different reasons. And so it has to be the right reason. It has to be they're confessing with their mouth what happened in their heart, and they want to pray to receive Christ. All right, John 1, verses 12 and 13. So if you'll just go over a couple chapters there. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Here again we see it's the work of God, this born again, this new nature that he gives us, becoming a new creature. It's the work of God. But next, I'd like you to see that the change is evident in the believer's life. The scriptures speak of this great inner work as producing a very wonderful change in the heart of the believer. So if you'll go back to Romans 6 just for a moment, we'll continue on with some other verses. Romans chapter 6, verses 12 through 18, and we read a couple of these. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin, because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. So that shows you that just because you're saved by grace, you're not given a license to sin. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? Which one do you choose? Do you want to be servants of sin unto death, or do you want to be servants obedient unto righteousness? I mean, that ought to be an easy choice. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, in other words, in the past, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. So you see the change there? In the past, you were servants of sin. Now you're servants of righteousness. Praise the Lord. That's what we want to be. We want to be servants of righteousness. Colossians 3:9, please turn there. Colossians 3:9. Go up to 6, verse 6. Wait, let's go up to 5. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. See, it's a past thing. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. And see, when you read that all together, then you see what the old man and his deeds were. I mean, I don't know about you, but when I first started going to church and serving the Lord and trying to do the right thing, a lot of the outside things were pretty easy. I mean, I didn't drink, I didn't smoke, and I didn't have to worry about that stuff. And I could just put those off easily. But then after a while, after God got rid of some of that outside stuff, then he began moving in on the inside. And so you see in verse 8, but now you put off all these: anger, wrath, things on the inside that sometimes struggle for a while in your flesh. And you got to put those off too. I mean, I had a really hard time getting rid of anger. I grew up with an angry family, and I just picked that up as a boy, and I thought that was the thing to do. And people would accuse me of it, and I would say, "Well, I'm not angry. I'm not angry, for crying out loud," or something like that, right? Yes, you are. So, you know, but it really took a while. It took a while, and actually, it was Pastor Anchor, who helped me with that and helped me to realize. He was actually the one who helped me to realize that I had an anger problem. And you can't deal with something until you actually realize that you have a problem with it. Now I don't get angry hardly at all. I mean, every once in a while it pops up, especially if you're tired or something. But I feel like it's gone. And so, I mean, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for that. But that's what he does, is he moves in on the inside, and then he starts doing an inner work in you and helping you to take care of these things. And as there is a change, well, okay, let's go to one more verse, Colossians 1:21. Colossians 1:21, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Let's read 22. In the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. What a blessing, right? Unreprovable. That's exciting. He can do that for us, where we were alienated and enemies in our mind by wicked works. So it's a blessing to see what God can do. And as there is a change in character, so there is a change in feeling. The man had been an enemy to God before, But when this change takes place, he begins to love God. And so it is with us. Conversion may be known next by this fact, that it changes the whole man. It changes the principle upon which he lives. He lives for self, now he lives for God. He did right because he was afraid of punishment if he did wrong, but now he shuns evil because he hates it. He did right because he hoped to merit heaven, but now no such selfish motive sways him. He knows that he is saved, and he does right out of gratitude to God. Lord, I just want to glorify you because I love you. You've done so much for me. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so you do it to the glory of God. His objects in life are changed. He lived for gain or worldly honor. Now he lives for the glory of God. His comforts are changed. The pleasures of the world and sin are nothing to him. He finds comfort in the love of God shed abroad in his heart by the Holy Ghost. His desires are changed. That which he once panted and pined for, he is now content to do without. And that which he once despised, he now longs for. I'd like you to turn to Psalm 42:1. Let's just read a few verses here. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude, I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. So he's going there with other believers and he's praising the Lord. He's allowing the Lord to work in his heart. He's desiring after God and panting like the hart does, like the deer. And so God gives you that thirst, that desire, that longing to be with him, to draw near to him, to do what is pleasing to him. So if you'll turn back to 2 Corinthians 5:17, I'd like you to see the last part here. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And I'd like to focus on that last part. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Your love to Christ also shows your newness, for it has slain your old actions and captured your heart for Jesus only. In your hope, which is also a gift of the blessed Holy Spirit, is set upon new things altogether, while your old hopes are things whereof you are now ashamed. And so we put those things behind us and we press on. That's what the Bible tells us to do, to go forward, to press towards the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. We're reaching forward. And if you're reaching forward, you can never look behind. There are so many Christians that get caught up in the past. That's junk. That's back there is the things you did wrong and things that just aren't right. You just keep going forward. You're pressing towards what God wants you to do. When you're walking forward, you can't look back. In fact, in a race, when you're running a foot race, they always tell you, don't look behind you because you'll lose time. You want to run as fast as you can and put as much power into it as you can, looking forward, being concentrated on on what you're doing. And that's what you're doing when you're walking for Christ. Because the devil has a million things over here to the side that he wants you to get your attention, to distract you. Or in the past, or whatever. Or so-and-so, what they're doing. And you want to keep your focus on what God would have you to do. Are you now henceforth dead to the world and dead to sin, and made alive and quickened unto life in Christ? That's the goal, is to look forward and to look on and to be changed, to be a new person. When Christ makes you a new creature, you are one indeed. You're a new creation. And that's where we need to focus. We need to focus on being a new creation, being what God has called us to do the things that God wants us to do. Is that you today? Maybe you might say today, Brother Dirk, there are some things that I need to change. Well, that's why we pray. That's why we come to the altar. I'm always praying about stuff I need to change. And I never quit until I get victory. I never give up, because I know that's what the Lord would have me to do. I'm not perfect. I got things in my life that I would like to see it go away forever, like anger. Like I said, every once in a while it pops up. I wish I never got angry again, ever. I can't say that, though. I mean, there's always that one off day, you know? And so, I don't know where you are at today, but I'd like to give you the opportunity. Maybe you're not even saved. I mean, I think everyone's here saved, but maybe you're not saved. Maybe you need to become a new creature in Christ. Whatever your situation, if you could come forward and play a little hymn of invitation. I don't know what your need is today. I don't know how God spoke to your heart. But it's really important for us to be different. It's really important for us to leave the old things behind and press forward and become a new creature in Christ. When Christ makes you a new creature, there's no turning back. It's a wonderful thing to live in that respect, to be new, to be made new. right, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we do thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for your word and how it works in our hearts. Lord, we thank you for the simple truth that we can be made a new creature. We can become totally different than we were before. And Lord, we can live for you. We thank you for that one truth. What a blessing it is to have you by our side. Lord, your Holy Spirit equipping us and telling us what we need to do. Lord, we just pray that you would help us to be in your word. Help us, Lord, to serve in this church and to love you and to love our pastor. Lord, we pray that you take care of him as he's sick now. Lord, we just ask for your will to be done with us. And we just pray for these things in Christ's most precious name. Amen.